There's going to be a meeting in the air, and a sweet, sweet by and by. And oh, I long to meet you over there, away beyond the sky. Such singing and the sea never heard my voice. Before it, I knew to be there. And God's own sound will be the leading one, and the sea sang in the air. God's own son will be the leading one in the meeting in the end. There's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And oh, I long to meet you over there, away beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by me.
Amen. You know, there's a reality to that. We might sing it here, but once we're changed and move over, then we'll be like, ah, now we know completely what we were singing about. Brother Tom, would you like to come and open in prayer this afternoon, if you don't mind? Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's just bow our heads.
Thank you, Father God, for we come and give praise and glory to our King. Father, for we just thank you, Father, for the reward that you have given us, Father, this day, Father. Your one and only precious Son, Father. Father, for we come before him, Father God, and we glorify his holy name, Father. Father, for we just thank you, Father God, that he is the greatest above all things, Father God, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, Father. Father, for there is no other God that is mightier than him, Father. For, Father, he is the living God. So, Father, we come. We give him all praise and glory, Father. Father, for our needs, Father. For the blessings of this day, Father. For his guidance, Father. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that we come and give him thanks. Thanksgiving, Father God, for the wonderful work that he is doing within our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Let's sing number 109.
Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
I felt peace.
Number 217, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Was there any items this morning from Sister Bubs? All right then. We'll sing number 68 and then we'll have testimonies if there's any. I've got a home in Glory Land.
I've got a home in Glory Land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in Glory Land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in Glory Land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the moon. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord. Oh, do remember me.
Testimonies this afternoon? Just the dying? Thank you, Brother Brian.
Just thank the Lord for his continuing faithfulness. I wasn't going to go out last Sunday for prayer, but I've been really feeling under oppression, just the pressures of living, I suppose. I was feeling really down. I'd been crying a lot and just feeling really yuck. And Brother Howard prayed for me and he just said to me, it's all over. But I really felt the Lord's presence there and I thought, well, thank you, Lord, it's all over. And then we had foot washing and Sister Mel and I were participating in that, and I believe holy laughter fell upon us, and we laughed until our stomachs hurt. It felt almost reverent laughing in church, but we couldn't stop. And since that time, there's a joy inside of me that's not just happiness, it's a joy. It's bubbling out of me again. Oh, I'm just so happy to be me again. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Trying to give God all the glory and praise for what I've been going through the last few weeks. But it's really nice thought and my thought I'm in at home. I just said, put it down to long suffering. And when he sees that, a tear came through my eye. I said, Lord, you're merciful, God. And then not only that, because of all that, what happened, it took away pride and humbled a man. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
When we have communion, obviously, when Brother Howard brings the scriptures, that you can receive your healing, that Christ paid it all, by his stripes we were healed, past tense. All you have to do is receive it. I just thought, that same hyssop faith that they painted the door with the blood over the door, that same simple faith is what you'll receive your healing by. And it's the same way you receive your salvation. So if I can believe for my salvation, then I can believe for my healing. Now, I was feeling quite sick, like quite coldy, flu-y sort of. That seems to be going around a bit. And I think it was on Monday or Tuesday morning, I wasn't feeling good at all. And you sort of, I don't know if you ever get down to prayer, sometimes you just can't pray. And that happens quite frequently, but that morning I just got down to pray. And I just poured out my heart before the Lord. I wasn't feeling that great. And, you know, I thought, I'm just going to take that same simple faith. I'm going to believe your word that by your stripes I was healed. And by instantly I feel so much better. You know, and I might just have this little sniff here, but that's just those lying vanities.
Yes.
So we just trust the Lord all the way. And that just gives you that opportunity to believe Him, you know, and just to prove Him. And then nobody can take that away from you. They can say what they want, but you've already proved Him. So we just thank Him for that. And it certainly tests your faith, and then you can trust Him for more. So we just thank Him. We'll just sing one more, and then I'll ask Brother Howard to come. We'll just sing number 58.
As I walk the road of life, my feet grow weary. As I spurn them through the foam and shifting sand, but I never have a fear about tomorrow, for I'm led by the Master's hand. Through the storm, through the night, I'll keep holding on, with His hand holding mine. Hope is never long. When I climb the last mountain, get through, I'll be led by the Master's hand. Let's sing it again. As I walk the road of life, my feet go weary. As I spur,
I'm going to have to stay here, Nancy. Sorry. Oh, I'll be okay. I shouldn't be too long, I don't think. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Matthew, chapter 20. And we're beginning with verse 17. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and to deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshipping him and desired a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus said unto her, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, we are able. May the Lord bless that. I'd also like to turn to James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. May God bless the reading of his precious word. Shall we just pray? Lord, we come again to you this afternoon. We pray, Lord, you'll bless each brother and sister here and those listening with us. May we be receiver of thee, Lord. We commit it into your hands right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. I've just entitled this Pure Religion and Undefiled. Something about that, isn't there? Pure religion. A lot of religious people, but we want pure religion and undefiled. And I want to take that from verse 27. And for a context, I'd like to use the mother and her two sons. In the first reading, these two sons were James and John, two of Jesus' disciples. And there's one thing God desires is pure religion and undefiled. You know, God's not interested in our program, but he wants us to be genuine. And we want to speak about that a bit. God is seeking a people who are genuine in church and out of church. Some people serve God on Sunday and serve the devil on Monday during the week. Now, that's true. I know that. But brothers and sisters, we just pray that God will help us this afternoon. And let's just read that John 4:23, which says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, God is not interested in having robots in bodies of flesh like we are. He doesn't want us to be forced to worship him. No more than you'd want your husband or your wife forced to love you. Paul said, as a man and a woman, man and a wife, so is Christ in the church. So brothers and sisters, it's got to be spontaneous from our hearts. Who believes that? Say amen. It's got to be real, brother, doesn't it? Has to be real in our hearts. So he's looking for that. In this day of such hybrid religion, people get up Sunday morning, dress up, put a suit and tie on, carry a Bible under their arms, I'm a Christian. But you want to see them during the week? You know what? God sees everything during the week and at church. So he's looking for true worshippers. So what is pure religion and true worship? I'm just preaching to myself, so if you don't agree with it, that's fine. It's for me. Something that comes straight from the heart of man to the heart of God. That is true religion. God is looking from our hearts to his heart. And there are no strings attached either. No ulterior motives either. It's genuine, true religion. Just unconditional love for him. Impure religion or insincere worship is a stench to God. He can't stand it. We can have the loveliest church service, go through all the formalities, very nice. But if our heart's not pure, God turns away from it. Let's turn to Amos chapter 5, verse 21. Amos 5:21. It says this, I despise your feast days, speaking to Israel, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard them peace offerings of your fat beasts. Now God had instituted, he had instituted these feast days and these solemn assemblies. He had actually put it in place. But they became commonplace to the people, lacking sincerity. We get to the place where we're lacking sincerity, we might as well pack up and go home. I'm not saying we are, I'm just saying if we do. So what about us? Have we become used to his blessings? It's a terrible thought that we get used to God, but unfortunately Israel did in a big way. And the happenings of Israel, the Bible said, were written for our example and admonition. So we are learning. God doesn't want any false religion. He doesn't want any put-ons or going along with the form. He wants it to be real. And so we see these two disciples that came to Jesus were chosen of God. They were. In the book of Luke, the rendering there shows the disciples asked Jesus. And so we can safely say that the mother and the sons had agreed upon this request. Now, this was a very important thing. Best if you go up to Jesus and ask him whether my two sons can sit with you on your throne. Oh, brother, I just want to get in the door. Don't worry about the throne. I just want to be in the door. But see, they didn't understand. And Jesus said, so you don't know what you ask. So notice these chosen disciples came to him worshipping him. It looked all really good on the outside. But their worship was defiled. Why was it defiled? Because they had a hidden agenda. And the hidden agenda was to ask Jesus this request we just read. They came to Jesus with an ulterior motive. Brothers and sisters, never do that to God. He'll see straight through you like he sees through a crystal glass. He can see you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows whether you've been genuine, honest about it, or you're trying to do something. You can't hide from the Lord. I don't want to hide from the Lord. He's with us all the time, isn't he? I want him to see everything, Brother Tom. I don't want to hide my heart. Now, brother brought about pride and these things. Let it come out. Lord, let it come out of us. Anything in our hearts that is not pleasing to you, get rid of it, we pray, Lord. So they had this hidden agenda. And you say, well, that was terrible that they came with that, but what about us? We're not talking about the disciples 2,000 years ago. We're talking about us this afternoon. Do we come to God with an ulterior purpose? You say, how could that be? I'm sure none of us would intentionally do that. I don't believe we would. But are we guilty of doing the same thing as the disciples did when we come to the Lord? Some people are using God as a great utility God. A utility God. You can call upon him for this, you can call upon him for that. He's our personal first aid kit. When we have a need, we go knocking. Lord, help me. And when he's given to us, we go away back to what we're doing. I want to tell you something. God doesn't want that. It's a false religion. And it's not pure and undefiled. You might think it like that, but it is. You know the Bible and the man and the king in the Old Testament we read recently? It says he did everything that was right in the eyes of the Lord. Sounded good. Got all the ticks, but not with a pure heart. I don't want that. I don't want that sort of religion. I want to be the same in my prayer room, as in church, as at work, or wherever I am. I want to be the same. That's right, isn't it, brothers? We've got to be the same. We can't chop and change and become religious on Sunday and then, as I said before, during the week we're quite a different person. Oh boy, I could tell you some stories on that one. But are we guilty of doing these same things? Some people want to use God, as we said, as a first aid kit or a utility God. You pray and he does this and you pray and he does that. You pray that he sends you money. Lord, I need some money. When he sees you coming down on you, say, oh, what do they want now? And probably the same thing you prayed last week. He hears it all the time. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. What about him? What about the Lord? You meant to come into his courts with thanksgiving, with praise. That's what we should be doing, giving him glory. Isn't that right, brother? We should come to him with the right approach. Not, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. You know, when we come to him, we should be in speechless adoration of his mighty presence. Who loves the Lord? I love to feel his presence come around when I get on my knees. I like to feel that sweet presence come down. It's everything to me. Everything. I want it. Who wants it? Lord, we've got to have it, Lord. We've got to be in thy mighty presence. And we come there not with any strings attached or gaining his favour to get our way. We don't want that. Like those that came worshipping him, then they said, oh, look, can we get on the throne with you? Well, now Jesus felt. They were worshipping him, then they wanted what they wanted. It's awful. I'm sure the Lord forgave them. I'm sure the lights came on with those disciples and they realised what they'd done. But brothers and sisters, don't let us go in that direction. That's coming with a wrong motive. We want God to grant us position, maybe on his throne, instead of having a father-son relationship with him. He's my heavenly father, and I'm his son. Who feels they're a son of God? Who believes they're a sister of God, a daughter of God? Hallelujah, that's what we want. We should come to him in true repentance, that we have hurt him. We have caused him to die. Not the Jews in his day. It wasn't the Jews. They were just instruments. But Jesus came because he first loved us and he died for you. If he didn't die for you, you'd all be going to hell this afternoon. And that's the truth. We love him because he loved us first. He died for us, took our place. So what should be our approach? Should be God be merciful unto me, a sinner. People say, I'm not a sinner. Well, you may not be a sinner, but we fail every day. That's true, isn't it? It was talking about at the lunch. It's in you. It's in your nature to do things wrong. And we're just saying that it's going to be in you until Jesus comes and changes your body. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts thereof. And the lusts of the flesh are already in you. And if you're not walking close to God, they will tend to manifest. The flesh wants everything. I want this. I want that. It's really demanding. But when you're walking in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit cleans you and makes you clean, gives you power over sin, power over lust, power over all those things that we constantly troubled with day and night. So what should be our approach? Be merciful unto me, a sinner. We should always be seeking the giver instead of the gift. You know, brothers and sisters, it's got to be real in your hearts. It's got to be real in my heart. Are we just wanting a gift from God, or do you want the giver? Even if he gave you nothing, it would be wonderful to have him walking with you. We should always approach his throne through the blood of Jesus Christ. There'll be a day when his bride will sit down with him on his throne. We know that. I just want to be there. I don't mind if I'm on the bottom step, as long as I'm in there. Even to be a doorkeeper in the house of God is better than the tents of wickedness, David said. I want to just be in. Who wants to just be in there?
Amen.
Oh, wonderful. It'll just be so wonderful. I believe it's coming soon. I honestly believe the coming of the Lord is at the door. This world cannot continue the way it is. It cannot. It's corrupted to the core. So we need to really get close to him now. So when he comes, you'll know him. You won't say, oh, Lord, is that you, Lord? Say, oh, yes, Lord, I know who you are. We fellowship with you every day. You've got to be in fellowship with God that when he comes, you're ready to go with him. For I believe his coming is near. And they that were ready, the Bible says in Matthew 20, 25, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And those who were not ready were left outside knocking. Lord, Lord, open up to us. They called him Lord, but he wasn't their Lord. Lord is full ownership. He owns you. If I want to own my thoughts, my desires, everything's got to be owned by the Lord Jesus. There is a way. All believers must go. We all have to be identified with his death and his burial and his resurrection. People want to circumvent that and go to church instead. It won't work. You've got to be identified with his death, burial and resurrection. The only way Jesus sat back on his throne was through death. He had to go through death for us. And if you're in Christ, you'll die too. If you're in Christ, you'll die with him. And if you die with him, you'll rise with him. It's all in him. Nothing to do with the church. As Brother Lee said, it doesn't matter what church you go to. It's nothing to do with that. If you're in Christ, you die. You rise again and live a newness of life. Receive the Holy Ghost. Who wants to receive the Holy Ghost? Oh, God, send your Spirit down upon us afresh. I pray, Lord, in the name of the Lord. It's too unpopular with the people. We're talking about it today with Brother here. A lot of churches don't want it. They want to be entertained. I don't want to be entertained. I want to get close to my Lord.
Amen.
I want to serve him. I want to worship in spirit and in truth. I want to have a pure religion and undefiled. That's what we're talking about. God will never change his word for our lukewarm generation. The brother's telling me, you know, some of the approaches of people is that if we get like the world, we'll attract the world. Sorry, that doesn't work that way. We are not followers, we are leaders. We have got to lead from the word of God. What God has asked us to do, that's what we do. We present the gospel, his children will receive it. Others want to be entertained, they might as well go down the road. There's lots of places they can be entertained. But if God is calling you, then we want to be coming according to his word and what he has laid down for us to do. Many want to circumvent Calvary. They want to circumvent Calvary to sit on that throne. It's not going to happen. It's got to be a death, burial and a resurrection. God will never change his words, we said this morning. He's faithful and he'll never change it for our lukewarm generation. We must come God's provided way, what he's laid down for us to do. There must be a total death to our self-will and our arrogant spirit. So easy to raise up an arrogant spirit. We pass from this old nature into a new creature, new creation. Our old man has been buried in Christ, dead and buried. We are now overcomers in Christ, over this fallen nature. In Christ we overcome. You try and overcome your nature, you go flat on your face and be very disappointed. It takes the power of God's Spirit to overcome this nature. In Revelation chapter 3:21, we read this. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame. Now, Jesus had to overcome. People forget that. Jesus had to overcome. Who believes that? Say amen. Garden of Gethsemane. What did he do? He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And I say that was the most dangerous words in the Bible. When Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And I say the whole of heaven, the angel went, oh, surely not. He's not backing out. It would all be lost. Every one of us. All mankind would be lost. But he overcame. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful thing? So the Bible says, he overcame and has sat down with my Father. He said, I also overcame and am sat down with my Father on his throne. There's no shortcuts with our Lord Jesus. No simple ways to get in. He also had to walk this walk in total surrender to overcome. Let's turn to Hebrews 5, Nancy. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, was Jesus, yet learned he obedience. There's no shortcuts. By the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. This is the Lord in print. His word. We need to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's not just coming to church and singing nicely. That's good. But we need to obey his word. Though we are sons and daughters, we too must learn obedience. Just like Jesus did. He's our example. We follow him. Let our worship on Sunday be the same as on Monday. Not one on Sunday different to the one on Monday. It's pure religion and undefiled. Don't come to church to see what you can get. But to come to church to see what you can give. Who believes that? We're to give something. Your brothers have gifts in you. You come to give it to God. It's a wonderful privilege to serve him. And in fact, this is the only time you're going to have to serve him, right here. There'll come a day when you won't be able to serve him anymore because we'll be with him. So let us take the opportunity to serve him. Praise the name of the Lord. I want God to bless me today is often the call. Lord, bless me today. Lord, bless me today. How about saying, Lord, what can I do for you today? What can I do for you today? Lord, how do you want to use me? That's the approach I want to have. I want it to be from my heart. I want it to be natural or supernatural, whatever way you want to call it. It's all serving him, not serving self. You know, this thing runs very deep in us all. We should be longing to see others blessed on Sunday morning. We want to see people touch, as we're often seen here. People really touch and say, oh, that's good to see sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so up the front. No, thank you, Lord, for blessing them. Thank you, Lord. Just help them. That's what we should be doing. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory. So much we could say on all these things. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Don't talk about yourself all the time. Esteem others better than you. Look not every man on his own things, worrying about what you need, but every man also on the things of others. What do they need? How can we help them? Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Does the thought excite you to see your brother or your sister upon his throne? Jesus left his throne. He got off the throne and became a slave. The Bible says slave. Our Bible says servant. We always use the King James because it's been really blessed of God through the years, centuries. But it actually says servants, but if you look on the Greek, it actually says slave. He went from a prince or from a king of kings off the throne to a slave. We're wanting to go the other way. We want to get on the throne. As the disciples said, Lord, can I sit with you on your throne? But brother and sister, if we're really sincerely in love with Christ, we'll get off our throne, off the throne, and become a servant for him, that we may sit with him on his throne one day. And all this will be over. Hallelujah, Sister Mel. Won't there be a time? You looking forward to it? I am. Can't be long. Cannot be long, brother and sister. Jesus left his throne and became a slave. Are we willing to serve God's people? Or do you have another agenda? That I can be something. I'll be recognised. You know, I've said to people many times in meetings, sometimes we've had some really wonderful service overseas. The altar's really full and people really reaching out to God. And I've said to the people, actually, I want to be down at the altar myself, for I know that's where the Lord is. I want to get down there. And sometimes I've left the pulpit and gone and knelt down with them to receive the blessings of God, to humble ourselves. That's what we need to do. So to conclude with this thought this afternoon, why do we come to church? Good question. Why do you come to church? Because you have to, maybe. It's a thing to do, maybe. What others may think, maybe. Or because we love God. Why do we love God? Why do you love God? Because he'll bless us? Or he'll take care of our family and our finances? Is that why we love God? Or because he'll get us out of hell? Is that why you love God? Or because he first loved us in our sin? We love him, the Bible says, because he first loved us. That's pure religion, undefiled. It says in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who's glad he died for you? Hallelujah. He didn't say, now clean you up, clean your life up first, and then we'll look at it. No, he died for us while we were in our sin. That's how much love he had, brother. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you love him? He's so wonderful. He didn't ask us to sit examination. He humbled himself. Got off the throne, came down as a slave, that we may be saved and sit with him on his throne. Just got another scripture here in Philippians 3:17. Then we'll close in prayer. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Sorry, Nancy. 17. Ephesians 3:17. May be able to comprehend, that's understand, with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Who wants that? Nicole, is that what you want? To be filled with the fullness of God. Isn't that wonderful? Who loves the Lord Jesus? He's just so wonderful. Shall we just pray? Maybe we could just stand as we go to prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to thee with grateful hearts, Lord. Very grateful hearts that you gave us an unconditional covenant, Lord, that wasn't depending upon us, it was because of your faithfulness, that you came and died for us, Lord, and took all our sin. We couldn't have done it ourselves. We couldn't get out of the mess we're in. But you came and identified yourself with us, Lord. And Lord, you paid the penalty of our sin that we may have your life. I just thank you, Lord. I pray that this desire in our hearts will be real. Lord, it'll be something that just throbs in our heart every night. We go to bed at night. That Jesus paid it all. How we love you. Lord, we just don't want to be religious. We just don't want to go through the forms. Like Israel went through the offerings. It became a stench unto your nostrils. Lord, I pray it'll be real and that you'll get great pleasure, Lord, to see us serving you. I just pray, Lord, from our hearts, not from our heads, from our hearts, we ask this blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please have your way with us, Lord. We ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. I will serve because I clear, isn't it? It's all up there. I'll serve thee because you love me, because I love you, and you've given your life for me. I was nothing before you found me, and you have given life to me. Brother, sister, this is what pure religion, undefiled, it's all about. Who wants this experience to be real every day, not just a Sunday service? Oh no. Every day may it throb in our hearts. The prayer service, Tuesday night, may it throb in our hearts. Whenever we come together, may it throb in our hearts. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. Have given life to me. Saviour. Isn't it a wonderful gospel? Who believes that? Hallelujah. Brother Peter, would you like to come and just close in prayer, my brother? Brother Peter's been a Christian a long time. Really loves the Lord, don't you, Brother Peter? God bless you. It's really nice to have you here, brother. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, it's just such a privilege that we can come and fellowship together around your word and have those truths ministered to us. That life you've given us is all more powerful for that, Christ, your spirit dwelling within us. We thank you for that overcoming power we have over the Satan and the lying and deceiving in the world and the deceptions that he tries to force on us as Christians. We thank you for the blessing and the peace we have with you in our own lives, that you have that covering in all circumstances, that we can give all to you, knowing your blessing is always upon us. We thank you for your love for us, for that gift of your Son and the life he gave, that blood that was shed. And look for those promises to be filled in our walk with you. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.